It is 8:19. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Happy to have you with us alongside Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop. I'm Kevin Ingram. Jonathan Schaefer is our producer. Four Seasons Garages, by the way, fourseasonsgarages.com is their website where you want to go and find out more. When trust matters, you can count on them for professional garage door repair and installation. From VolQuest.com, we are joined by the one and only Brent Hubbs. Brent, what's going on this morning?
Not much, guys. How's everybody doing in Nashville?
Yeah, we're good. Now, we asked you during the break if you could be quarantined with one member of our show. Who might you choose? And you said, I think I'm gonna plead the fifth on this one and just not even go there.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody's got their own qualities. I'm not sure anybody on this show wants to be quarantined with me either, right? So, I mean, you know, if I want a good debate, I'm gonna be with Mark for a while, right? Because we're gonna argue about something, because that's what we do. You know, if I need some information, I'm probably gonna roll with Kevin because he's always prepared there. And then if I need the life experience of athletics, then I'm going to roll with Blaine Bishop. How's that for a political answer this
morning? That is outstanding.
That's better than that, doesn't it?
Man, what are you running for? I mean,
to get out of my house at some point, Blaine.
But see, I'm thinking Brent would be an ideal. Hang on a second.
Basketball or football?
Brent, I think, would be an ideal person to be quarantined with because, you know, he's on the farm there. You got plenty of food. You don't ever have to worry about running out of anything. I mean, I got to think that he'd be a pretty high draft pick when it comes to if you're doing a quarantine draft.
But then he'd put you to work.
Well, yeah, there is that part of it.
Oh, but you got to earn your keep, though.
No passes in the Hubs household.
That's right. You might be a little disturbed when I start having conversations with cows as well, which is kind of where we're at this point in time, about 2 weeks into this thing.
There you go. Brent, as far as Tennessee goes, we'll start with some football. Give us some thoughts on the recruits they've received commitments from, including a very fast running back from over in North Carolina.
Yeah, Jalen Wright is a young man from over in Durham, North Carolina, that Jay Graham got on early in the process and really, really liked. And I think Jim Chaney sees him as a bit of a toy, if you will. And I think in this day and age of football, you're running back. Can't just be a between the tackles guy all the time. You need somebody on your roster you can flex out. He can line up in the slot. You can bring him out wide. You can jet sweep him. He can be in the screen game. And I think those are the things that Tennessee envisions with Jalen Wright. What's interesting is he's on a roster with about three other running backs, and their coach literally splits the carries, you know, across the board. So he's not a guy that's got a lot of wear on the tires, if you will, because he's not getting, you know, 25, 30 carries a game. That's not what he does in their offense. It's not what they do as a team over there. So he's going to be pretty fresh. But this is a guy who's a national champion caliber 60-meter guy. He's run some of the best times in the country, best times in the state of North Carolina. I like this guy, and I like him for down the road. I think Jim Chaney can use him in a variety of ways. And then Walker Merrill, from there in Brentwood, commits to Tennessee yesterday. Underrated as an athlete, I think. Probably doesn't play in the best system to showcase his ability to stretch the field and do some different things that way. And both are nice gets for Tennessee and nice momentum pieces right now for Tennessee while there's not much going on.
From VolQuest.com, our guest is Brent Hubbs, joins us every Wednesday morning right here on the Zone.
Well, Brent, I'm going to ask you, I guess, with some of the players not getting invited to All-Star games in the combine, what are the players like, I'm thinking off the top of my head, Nigel Warrior, you know, doing to get his name out there and maybe show some of his test results, or if he's doing anything, if players like him are in the same position?
Well, I think that's the challenging part right now because it's, you know, it's onward with the NFL draft later this month, and you've not had a pro day. You've not had the ability to go to a team facility to work out. For Nigel, he didn't get to go to the combine, as you mentioned. So there's limited data other than, you know, on the field tape. And Nigel's a guy who had a great back.
Brent is frozen up on us here a little bit. Brent, are you there?
He may be there, but he's frozen.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to put in my report. They're going to go down a star on Skype.
Oh, we'll have to get Brent back on.
We will try to reestablish our connection with Brent. But, you know, Blaine, you're talking about, you know, players that won't get to go to the combine or do those pro day workouts and that sort of thing. I mean, it really hurts guys who are you know, may have
been on the fringe of you know, mm-hmm. getting drafted or at least getting signed by somebody as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, and I'm interested, besides Nigel Warrior, what other players are in that situation at Tennessee and other places? But, you know, Nigel Warrior being a highly recruited guy and his dad having the gene of Dale Carter, you just wonder. I was sitting there watching the Alabama game yesterday, Alabama versus UT, and I saw him get the interception, there in the end zone to save a touchdown. They actually, you know, gained a momentum there at Alabama. So I'm like, man, this guy's a senior. Ended up, you know, finally developing him the last 2 years under Pruitt and crew. And turned out to live up to the billing of what was he, a 4 or 5 star guy who finally played up to that level consistently. So, you know, he's a guy probably gets in someone's camp and then actually shows fairly well, probably, you know, a draftable, late round draftable player. So it's just sad to hear.
I think you're going to see a lot of that, unfortunately. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right, Blaine. There are a lot of kids betwixt and between in this situation, and you know, we don't know what the future holds. Teams might just sort of make a blind offer to some of these, because I mean, they still have seen them on tape, so right. I guarantee you that the scouts know who they are, but not getting a chance to really see them in a pro day, or as you said, an individual workout, that might change the game a little bit.
And the ones that it may even hurt even further, let's say you watch the tape, but you haven't had to have the one-on-one like Nigel Warrior, but wonder if he had character issues or had an injury, one of the two, then that kind of slides them out of the picture, because they can't, you know, as Mark's been talking about, just in a higher level of Simmons getting evaluated. Well, what about the lower guy who was performing, moving up, you know, into the draft that now, with an injury, is probably out of the draft because they can't even do a physical on him, a guy who was probably a free agent. So that's always kind of interesting and sad at the same time that they won't at least get the opportunity to go to a camp.
Let's we do have Brent Hubbs back with us, joining us again here on the Wake Up Zone. Brent, every Wednesday morning, a regular time slot at 8:15 here on the Zone. Let's go back, Brent, to the question Blaine was asking you about, you know, players and not being able to have those usual workouts and some of the pro days and things that, you know, especially as it applies to Tennessee players looking to go in the draft.
Well, I think it's a huge, you know, for a guy like Nigel Warrior and some other guys that Blaine talking to just a little bit, if you're not in the top tier that everybody has known about for a year, this is your time to shine. This is your time to put your name on tape or put your identity on tape, as some coaches around here used to say, and I think that's exactly what it was. And now you've got to get creative. I saw where a couple of guys were conducting their own private pro day and trying to put out times and trying to get people's attention that way. For a guy like Nigel, you're banking on the tape and you're hoping that the tape translates there. But I don't think, and obviously we've not had anybody talking about this for the last few weeks, but because there's no pro days, nobody's shooting up the draft, and so I think it's going to the draft's going to kind of go where everybody thought that they were, guys were at the end of the season. But what does that do for a guy like Nigel Warrior who can't get in front of people? What does it do for guys coming off injury like Tua? I mean, if you're talking about an NFL team that's going to invest in a quarterback, that's a heavy investment, particularly early in the draft. Can you get enough evidence on Tua that you truly believe that the hip's fine and he's going to be healthy, because you haven't had your medical people look at him and evaluate him that way? So I think a lot more unknowns in this draft, and I think Charles Davis said it best on Ball Calls Monday night. That those teams that are organized, those teams that traditionally have good drafts, probably are going to be okay, but the teams that, you know, somewhat are all over the map come draft season, that they're going to be wild to watch on draft night, because there'll be somebody take a chance on somebody that'll be a head scratcher, and then there'll be some guys probably slide down the board that is a little bit of a head scratcher as well. It'll be an interesting night.
Hubs coming up in a moment. VolQuest.com is where you can find his excellent work in covering Tennessee. 8:29 the time here on the Wake Up Zone. Let's get a word from Mark about the leak company, if you don't mind.
That's right, Kev. Leaky faucet, clogged pipe, nothing that the leak company plumbers can't handle. Their team of plumbing professionals are ready to help diagnose and repair slow drains, leaky faucets, clogged pipes, low water pressure, and many other plumbing woes around your home. Call today and receive $20 off your next plumbing service call. You can view this and all of Lee Company's current promotions at leecompany.com/promotions or call them at 615-567-1000. And I can attest to the fact, not just an endorser for Lee Company, a happy and satisfied customer. And I've had some of the Lee Company plumbers in my home. They are knowledgeable, they're friendly, and they'll get the job done in the most cost-effective way. So again, you can go to promotions at leecompany.com/promotions or call them at 615-567-1000. Lee Company, all you need.
Hey, 35 the time, Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. When trust matters, count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors. FourSeasonsGarages.com is the website. Rejoined by our friend Brent Hubbs from FallQuest.com.
Brent, with, you know, obviously no spring practice, and we don't know if this whole crisis is going to encroach, you know, on the summer. But if they, you know, have to adjust, in your mind, what would a suitable amount of time be needed to make sure these teams are going to be physically ready to play since they didn't have spring practice?
Well, I mean, I think you're just going to have to go a little bit old school. I mean, we're not decades removed or, you know, lifetimes removed from guys showing up for ball in July and going about their business and getting ready to go that way. So, you know, I think that if you got everybody assembled the 1st of July, you might give them a longer acclimation period when you start practice. Back it up a few days and give it a longer acclimation period before you go into pads and things like that. But I think you just, you know, you got to roll with the punches. But I think that you would want, at worst case scenario, you would want guys back on your campus to start that second session of summer school right after July 4th. Kind of like that used to be the case when most freshmen came in. You know, when Peyton Manning was on campus at Tennessee, he got here in July. And ended up obviously being the starting quarterback as a freshman in 94. So, you know, we're not that far removed from times where guys weren't here year-round preparing for a football season.
What can you accomplish with this online coaching?
You know, I think right now you're trying just to continue to accomplish making sure your guys are doing what they're supposed to be doing in terms of getting a workout in some capacity and taking care of their schoolwork. I think the online is more important for programs that have a bunch of new coaches that everybody's trying to get acclimated with. I think for Tennessee, it's important for, like, defensive line coach Jimmy Brumball, who's not been on staff very long. He worked with the players 2 days on the practice field. It's continuing to build relationships there that way with those guys. I think, you know, the offense is in place at Tennessee. There'll be some tweaks to it. The defense is in place, but at a place like Mississippi State, it's all brand new. So the online work in terms of classroom work is probably more important for those programs that are dealing with, you know, real changes either at the head coaching spot or even at the coordinator spot. I think it's more important for them than it is for an established program.
With no face-to-face recruiting, how do you think that affects the early signing period?
I think it's going to be fascinating to see if the NCAA waits it this year. There is some talk out there. Some people have thrown it out that maybe the NCAA should look at, for 1 year only, eliminating the December early period and push it back to the traditional February date, simply because there's going to be a lot of pressure on guys to try to get their visits in. And I think, you know, July typically is a dead period. If we're back to any kind of normal life, is the NCAA going to open that up where kids can go on campuses in July? If you do that, every high school coach in the country is going to be worried and bothered because he's trying to get his team ready to play and get his kids ready in the month of July, and they're going to tell you, hey, I'm going to do that makeup week trip we were supposed to do over spring break. I'm going to be gone 4 days to see 7 schools. You know, that's not going to fly very well for high school coaches getting ready for your senior year. So, you know, do coaches Does the NCAA open up the month of July? And then if they don't, when do guys get visits in and get their official visits in? Because they're hard to do in season. They're harder to do in season now than they used to be because you can't do the private playing deal. You know, it used to be like when Albert Hainsworth was being recruited, he played on Friday night and went to a little airfield and a small private plane picked him up and flew him into Athens, Georgia for his official visit or flew him to Knoxville for his official visit. Can't do that now. So if you're traveling and you got to fly, then you've got to drive on Friday night to whatever city you're going to fly out of. You're probably not going to catch a flight till the next morning. What kind of official visit are you going to have? So I think there's some thought that kids maybe can't make the most informed decision if they have an early signing period. So we'll see what the NCAA does.
We're speaking of Brent Hubbs from VolQuest.com.
Brent, I guess I have to ask you about, we're going to ask a little bit about basketball. It seems like you got a lot of from girls as well as the Lady Vols as well as the men's coming in and out. What are your thoughts on getting grad transfers and guys in the transfer portal? Seems like that's kind of the par for the course for basketball in general, whether it's girls or Lady Vols or the men's.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the world we're living in right now with the transfers. Jalen Johnson took a deep dive look at this roster and what it's going to look like next year and wondered where his minutes are going to come from and where is he going to get his minutes. And I think Jalen Johnson's made the right decision for him because, you know, on this past team, he could not carve out a consistent nightly role in terms of, a minute load or a playing time load. So I think he looks at Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson, and the guys that are coming in here, Victor Bailey, who set out this year as a transfer. I just think he wonders where he's going to get on the court. And so he's decided as a senior he wants to play and is going to go play elsewhere, which I think is a smart move for him. And Asiki is a guy that I think can protect the rim some, but the biggest thing he does is rebound the basketball. I think Rick Barnes, looking at this roster, thinks he's got a chance to make a run next year. You take a grad transfer to complete a roster is what you're trying to do. And I think when Rick Barnes looked at this roster and he had one spot left, he said, what do I need? Do I need another shooter? Do I need another guard? Do I need a post? What do I need? And I think for Rick Barnes, Anasicki was probably the best available grad transfer out there. And Rick Barnes likes him because he could rebound the basketball. He may not be the tallest guy, but he knows how to rebound. And I don't think they're bringing him in for a bunch of points. They're bringing him in for the rebounding. On the other side, the Massengill move for the Lady Vols is a bit surprising. I didn't really see that one coming because she played so many minutes last year. But, you know, Kelly Harper's trying to establish her culture. Maybe she just felt like she was a bad fit and it just wasn't working for her. So that move surprises me a little bit, but because they don't have a ton of guard depth and it wasn't like she was going to be fighting for scrapping for, you know, some minutes next year. She was going to play a lot for this team, but she obviously felt like she needed a change of scenery.
Brent, one more for me before we let you roll. How interesting is the trickle-down effect going to be? You know, with no NCAA tournament, you know, you heard the money from that. It's going to be, you know, probably less than half. You also had the announcement about spring sport athletes getting the extra year of eligibility. For a school like Tennessee, what's the balance going to be like there trying to figure those things out?
Well, I think for coaches, managing the roster is going to be the biggest challenge, you know, in terms of, you know, how do you set your roster? How do you develop? How do you handle that many players on a team? You know, how do you settle your incoming freshmen down that they still have a place and, you know, they have a role and that type of thing? Are you going to bring all of your seniors back? Are you going to encourage them to take a grad transfer somewhere else and move around? And then on the flip side of that, from a business standpoint, you have serious, financial ramifications. And I think for the Power Five schools, they've got money in reserve. And, with the TV contracts provided that you're playing college football, you can get through that. But I look at some other schools, like a Southern Conference school, you know, ETSU, Chattanooga, you know, that's probably a, $300,000 expense to have those spring athletes back for another year. And the extra eligibility for them, but where does that money come from for them? That's a huge expense because they're not running $100 million budgets. So I think, you know, that's probably why the NCAA left it up to the individual schools, sort of how they want to handle it. And some of those schools that don't have big budgets, I'm going to be fascinated to see how they handle it. And then I think the big budget schools will be fine, provided that we're playing football this fall. If we're not playing football this fall, I don't have an answer for you on how everybody's going to manage life financially.
Brent, great as always. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. From VolQuest.com, that's our guy, Brent Hubbs, every Wednesday morning here on the Wake Up Zone as we continue. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Coming up shortly, we're going to also have Danny Woodhead with us, former NFL running back, has a new podcast. Should be entertaining to speak with Danny. He's coming up on 104.5 The Zone.